1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. If you need a Bible, raise your hand up and we will get it to you so that you can follow along with us. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. So in verses 1 through 11, he's talking about God by the Spirit giving you gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then verse 12, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So, Father, in Jesus' name, as the Word of God is unfolded this morning, may it not just be unfolded by me, Lord, but it may it be unfolded by the Holy Spirit into every heart, into every mind. And may we have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. The emphasis so far in verses 1 through 11 is, you'll notice in verse 7, it says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In verses 8 through 10, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another one. And so through verses 8 through 10, the emphasis is on the individual. If you look at verse 11, but one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, even as he wills. And so up until now, the focus has been on what has God called me to do, what gift has he given to me. And so it's all been introspection. You know, what's the Lord doing in my life? Do I have the gift of tongues, interpretation, faith, miracles, healings, word of wisdom, word of knowledge? What is God doing? What ministry has he given me? What am I called to do? How am I being used in the body of Christ? And so up until verses 1 through 11, it's been pretty much introspective. I'm looking at what the Holy Spirit is doing in me and for me and through me. But now, beginning at verse 12, we begin not to think individually, but we begin to think collectively about the body of Christ. In fact, in verses 12 through 26, the word body occurs 18 times and the word member occurs 16 times. And so we go from thinking about ourselves to thinking about what place we have and what role we play as a member in the body of Christ. Verse 12, again, it says, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also in Christ. Though there are many churches today, Christ is just one body. Christianity may be disunited, but Jesus Christ isn't divided. There's all kinds of churches: Baptist, Presbyterian, Nazarene, Methodist, Calvary Chapels, independent churches, all kinds of churches are out there with all kinds of names. But there's only one body of Christ worldwide. We're just a local expression here in Fremont, but there's just one body of Christ. If you moved to Idaho, are you still an American? Yeah. Are you still a Californian? You would say no. They would say what? Yeah. You're still a Californian. But if you move to Idaho, you are not. You are still an American. If you leave Calvary Chapel Fremont, which you would never, ever even think of doing, but if you were to leave Calvary Chapel Fremont, do you still belong to the body of Christ? Are you still in the body of Christ? Of course you are. Because more than being members of Calvary Chapel Fremont, you're members of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, Calvary Chapel in Fremont is just in this one local place. But the body of Christ encompasses the whole globe. A Methodist isn't a Baptist. A Baptist isn't a Presbyterian. A Presbyterian isn't a Nazarene. Yet, all of them belong to the body of Christ. And so there's a lot of churches, but there is just one Jesus. And Jesus isn't divided. Then we're told in verse 13 how this unity is brought about. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And so the oneness is achieved by the Holy Spirit, who and we're placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And this is a unity not of doctrine or common creed, not of liturgy or shared history, but it's a unity of blood. The blood of Jesus was baptized. The blood of Jesus was shed for us. And then we've all been baptized into the body of Christ. Now, there are some churches, if you go to them and you want to become a member of them, they'll say you have to be baptized. Well, I was baptized at Calvary Chapel, Fremont. Or I was baptized when I was 10 years old at First Baptist Church, you know, down the road. Or I was baptized at 12-year-olds at the Nazarene Church. Well, it doesn't matter. You have to be baptized into this church. Well, listen, that's not a biblical doctrine. We're not baptized into a church. We're baptized into the church. We're baptized into the body of Christ. And the thought is, though, what they're saying, what the leadership of that church is saying, though, is if you come here, you have to be rebaptized. Not because we don't think you're saved, though some might go that far, but you're not one with us. But I'm one with every believer around the globe. Anyone who names the name of Jesus and believes that God has raised him from the dead and confesses that Jesus is Lord, I'm one with them. You're one with them. I don't need to be rebaptized over and over and over again to get unified, and more unified than reunified. I'm one with them in the Holy Spirit. You're one with them in the Holy Spirit. It's a unity of blood, the blood of Christ that's been shed for us, and the unity of baptism by the Holy Spirit. Now, this isn't baptism into the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Matthew 3:11 that Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. This is a baptism into the body of Christ. Well, Pastor, I thought in Ephesians 4, it says there's just one baptism. And if I'm following you right, there's water baptism, then there's the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, which is mentioned here. Then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus does. That's three baptisms. Then there's the baptism of fire, right? So, Ephesians says there's one. You've already mentioned four baptisms. The point of Ephesians is that there's just one baptism for both Jew and Gentile. For Greek, for Jew and Gentile, for slave and free, for male and female, there's just one baptism. There's not a baptism for a Gentile, then a baptism for a Jew, then a baptism for a woman, a baptism for a man. There's just one baptism into Jesus Christ. That's the emphasis there. But we are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Now, the way that I've read this passage and have studied this passage, there's two points that emerge in my thinking here. And it's this. They are these. The members of a body do not have free will, and the members of the body are not volunteers. No free will, no volunteering. And I'm going to take the rest of the message to explain that, what I mean by that. And my first point is this, is that I took a picture of my right leg. Let's get it up there. My right leg, actually my wife took that. My right leg is not a casual member of my body. It's not just there sometimes and not there other times. Does my right leg have a free will? Well, if it gets spastic or something and the sciatica, you know, kicks in or something, it might have its own little, you know, twitches that it does. But my right leg doesn't have a free will. My right leg isn't a volunteer. It shows up all the time, and my right leg, it has no choice in the matter. What if I were to wake up in the morning and try to get up and say, oh man, where's my right leg? Where did it go? Why can't it be on time? Why is it always wandering off? Why does it always have its own mind? My right leg is there all the time. And the one thing it cannot do is wander off. The one thing it cannot do is exercise its own will. The one thing it cannot do is go off and have a life on its own. My right leg is a member of my body. It does not have free will, and it's not a volunteer. It was born for this, we could say, right? It was born to be my right leg. And this isn't a dig at those who show up late to church and only come sometimes. That's another sermon, right? Of not showing up showing up late. Paul isn't talking here about being in church. He's talking about being in the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is larger than a Sunday morning services. And you are a member of the body of Christ, like my right leg is a member of me. You're not a casual member, and you're not a volunteer. You belong to Christ as a member of Christ, to be directed by Christ in the way that Christ would direct you. If my right leg could talk, it would say this: Tim, I'm all in, all the time. You can count on me. You can put weight on me whenever you want, even at a second's notice. That's what my left leg would say that too. In fact, I asked my little finger today, and it would say that too. It would say, I'm all in. You can count on me at any time. There's not one member of my body that's not responsive to me. Now, the older I get, not quite as responsive. You know, there's a little hesitation on their part. I told you a few years ago, I was playing volleyball out at the park. We were having a picnic, and that goes over the net, right? Yeah, and it's been so long since I played, and the ball was coming in my direction. Someone had hit it to me, and you know, your brain, it can do calculations in nanoseconds. And my brain said, for me to hit that ball back, I need to be at this location over here, 3 feet away. I need to be there this fast, and I need to hit it this way. But then I said, I'm going to pray about that. And while I prayed, the ball just fell down to the ground. My body wasn't as responsive. You know, in my past, just instinctually, you would have, dove forward or contorted your body, but I have to think about things now. But my body's all there, and it's responding to me, even as your body is responding to you. If my left arm went out to hit the volleyball, it couldn't say back to me, hey, I didn't volunteer for that. And man, you smacked it wrong, and now my wrist is hurting, and I think there might be a sprain going there. You should have asked me first, Tim, before you asked me to hit that ball. Before you had me hit the ball. You know, we should have talked about it. But there's no deliberations with my body. There's no negotiating with my body. It does what I tell it to do. It doesn't have a free will. Yeah, there's no negotiations. It's not a volunteer. It's been drafted for life. It's all in. And the Bible says we're members of the body of Christ. In fact, later on, we won't get into this week. Next week is Easter, so it'll be a couple weeks. He talks about the ear and the eye and the mouth and the foot. And so he's using the members of our bodies as analogies. You are a member of Jesus Christ. And I would suggest to you, and I'm going to develop it even further, that in what God would have you to do, you don't have free will. You're not a volunteer. God doesn't negotiate with you. God's very un-American when it comes to the body of Christ. This isn't a democracy. This is a theocracy. God rules. It's not a pastorocracy where pastors rule. I don't tell you what to do. Jesus would have you discover what he wants you to do. In fact, in verses 1 through 11, he gives gift, he gives ministry, he gives effects to each one individually, to one, to another one. The emphasis is on the whole body of Christ. He's brought you in as members, and he's working in each and every one of you. Again, not as volunteers, not as those who have free will, not as those who would be negotiate with him the best deal for you when it comes to how he wants to use you and how you can serve him. You're not a volunteer. My right leg isn't a volunteer. It's a member of my body. It doesn't have its own agenda. To volunteer is to make a free will decision. And so this can be used in a couple of different ways. So, for example, the Army. When I turned 18 back in 1971, I had to register for the draft because the Vietnam draft was still going on. I was 4F right off. I'm epileptic, so they didn't want me to go into the Army. But once you volunteer, my son Benjamin signed up for the Army. And I came of my own free will. But once you sign on the dotted line, free will's over. It doesn't belong to you anymore. You do what the drill sergeant says. You do what the lieutenant says. You do what the captain says. You do what the general said. Well, you promised me this. Did you really believe that? You know, you told me I could go into gunnery. Ha, ha, ha. No, you're infantry. Well, you told me that I could go to Germany. Ha, ha, ha. No, you're going to Vietnam. And you no longer can negotiate. So once you've volunteered, ongoing service cannot be negotiated or terminated. If you leave, what are you? AWOL, you know, absent without official leave, and it's a crime. You can be prosecuted. Can't be terminated, and in a real sense, you give up your free will. Now, an organization, once you volunteer in an organization, ongoing service can be negotiated or terminated, and you keep your free will. Well, Tim, I'm led to serve in children's ministry. Well, praise the Lord. And then 3 months later, you feel unled. You know? And you negotiate. Well, I can't make it every Sunday morning. How about every third Sunday morning if I'm not skiing? Or how about, you know, I serve here or serve there, as long as it fits with my schedule. And we negotiate, not just within the church, but with civic organizations and maybe some things you do at your work. You volunteer for this, you volunteer for that, and you negotiate what's best for you. With the Army, for the better part, there's no negotiations. You no longer have the capacity of free will and in terms of choosing your own way and choosing your own sweet assignment. But when you volunteer in specific organizations, that is open to you. Now, is my body like the Army, or is it like an organization? Does my little finger have free will? It doesn't. Does my left arm have any God-given moral agency or moral authority in and of itself? No. If I'm going to commit a crime, can my left arm say, well, I'm not going into that liquor store and robbing it? Or I'm not going to take up that gun, and that's immoral. It doesn't have that kind of agency. As a member of my body, it's more like being in the Army than being in an organization. What makes the decisions for my body? My head. Your head. Your head directs it all. It all starts up here in the command center, right? And I don't have my little finger doesn't have a brain. My right leg doesn't have a brain. My kidneys don't have brains. My heart doesn't have a brain. My brain has a brain. My head has a brain. And it's all directed by the brain. And so my right arm, my left leg, my little finger, it all receives direction from the head. The members of my body are not free will moral agency agents. They're not volunteers that can freely come and go. They don't negotiate with my head. So here's another question. Is the church like the Army, or is it like an organization? If I say organization, that's so unspiritual, because that means I can come and go and do what I want, don't have to submit to the lordship of Jesus and negotiate this and negotiate that and make it all about me and my convenience. If I say it's like an army, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I give up free will. I give up volunteering. I give up negotiating. Is the body of Christ more like the army or more like a civic organization? Interesting. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Is it the head deacon? Is it the elder of the day? So today, Robert Romero is the head of the church in Fremont. Is the pastor the head of the church? No. Not even the Pope is the head of the church. Yeah. Another title for the Pope is the Vicar of Christ. We get our word vicarious from it, and that means in place of. Christ died vicariously. He died in our place. The Vicar of Christ is he who is in the place of Christ. Now, we don't deny that there is the Vicar of Christ on the earth. We would just deny that he's the Pope. Who's the Vicar of Christ? No. It's the Holy Spirit. And I will send another helper that he might be with you forever. He's going to take my place. The Holy Spirit's the Vicar of Christ. Not the Pope, not the pastor, not Billy Graham, not, you know, whoever. The Vicar of Christ is here, but he's not in Rome. He's straddling the globe in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is Jesus in his church as the head of the church. The head of the church is Jesus. And you notice verse 6, the middle phrase there, it says, the same God works all things in all persons. In verse 7, to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You don't initiate it. You're passive in receiving it. It is determined by the head of the church what gift you receive and what ministries he gives to you. You'll notice in verse 11 that the same Spirit, the Vicar of Christ, works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. This is the whatever you have, whatever you receive, whatever God does in your life, it's because the Holy Spirit has determined to do that. In fact, Paul asked the Corinthians, because they were boasting about how spiritual they were, you know, what do you have that you haven't received? And if you've received it, why do you boast as if you haven't? You know, Billy Graham had a great ministry. It was all given him by God. He was a great steward of what God gave him. It was all given him by God. And if you were to ask Billy Graham, he would say, I have nothing to boast about. It's not that I developed these great oratorical skills, this deep Bible insight, this charismatic personality, this dynamic presentation. All of that was given to him by God. He was a steward of all of it, and again, a wise steward. What do you have that you didn't receive? It's all determined by the head, Jesus Christ, as is ministered through the Vicar of Christ, the Holy Spirit, upon the earth. Is the church like the army or like an organization? Your assignment, well, look at verse 18 also. Verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. Not as you desired, not how you negotiated, not you know, what you came up with. He determined it. It's determined by God. He didn't negotiate with you. He didn't ask your opinion on the matter. Your assignment in the body of Christ is determined by God. You're not a volunteer anymore, any more than my liver is a volunteer. Okay, who wants to scrub my body of all of its waste? Ooh, ooh, ooh. This organ says, I'll do it. It was born to do this. This was its design. This was its capacity to cleanse my body and to do what the liver does. Your assignment in the body of Christ is determined by God. I think that one of the greatest weaknesses of the church is that we think of ourselves as a volunteer army. And if you, in fact, I just Googled church as volunteer army. And boy, you find all kinds of stuff. And there are many churches on their websites that say we're a volunteer army. And I get what they mean by it. I'm not criticizing them. I'm not thinking that they're often left field. I understand perfectly what they mean by it. But at the same time, as I've studied the Word of God, the Church of Jesus, and the will of God, the members of the body aren't volunteers. They're called, they're assigned, and God places them. God placed my liver where He placed it. God placed your kidneys where He placed them. God put your wouldn't it be weird if God put your right hand on your left arm and your thumb was, we'd get used to it, but it would just be so weird. God placed the members of my body, the enzymes, the chromosome, all of, you know, you have 100, if you're an adult, you have 100,000 miles of arteries, veins, and capillaries in you. Isn't that incredible? And God placed them. They're members of the body. And they're doing what God has determined them to do. They didn't ask. It's not like a capillary says, I want to be an artery. No, you're a capillary. And I think if you were to ask that capillary, he would say, I'm just thrilled to be a capillary. I'm just so happy to be what God has called me to be and to be functioning in the way that God has called me. God has called me to function. Again, one of the greatest weaknesses of the church is that we think ourselves as a volunteer army, which means, sure, I can volunteer for that ministry, but if it gets too oppressive, if it gets too inconvenient, I can always just get out of it. Yeah, I can do this, but if it's not something I want to do, if it doesn't fit me, you know, it's something that I can get out of then. And we think of the church as a volunteer army. We think that we determine when we serve, how we serve, who we serve, where we serve, and for how long we serve. Now, excuse me. You may be a mouth in the body of Christ, or an eye, an arm, or a kidney, but you are not the head. You don't determine where you serve, and when you serve, and who you serve, and how you serve, and for how long you serve. Who determines that? Not the elder of the day. Sure not the pastor. Who determines those things? The vicar of Christ. Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He placed you in the body as He determined. He gives you callings. He gives you ministries. He gives you gifts. He gives you assignments. And you're accountable to the Lord for what He gives you. You're not accountable to the pastor. You're not accountable to John, the head usher. You're not even accountable to your spouse ultimately in these things. The Bible doesn't tell me that at the end of days, I'm going to stand before my spouse and give an account. That happens every day, right? No. At the end of days, I'm going to stand in front of God and give an account. And listen, you're going to stand in front of God, and I'm not going to be at His right hand. This is you and the Lord. What did you do with those things I gave you to do? I didn't tell you that you were a volunteer. Brittany, back in children's ministry, she gets a salary here. And so I would certainly sense a greater obligation to teachers who volunteer. I might expect that anymore, but it's just like riding a bike. You know, I can go up and down. And so I'd be playing, oh, I don't know. Back then, if you knew three chords, you knew 99% of the Christian songs. And so I'd make a C, which is kind of awkward to make. Well, I guess any chord is awkward to make if you don't know how to make them. But I would tell myself that Sunday while I was leading worship, okay, the next chord is a C, and I would tell my hand that. But my hand would say, you're kidding me, you know? What are you talking about? So this member, I would take my left hand, whereby I was strumming, and I would place the fingers on the right strings, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, now a G. Okay. Help it along. And sometimes we need to help one another. One member helps another member. But here's Archippus as a member of the body of Christ who is given an assignment. And maybe just like a hand that hasn't developed muscle memory when it comes to any kind of task, Paul is trying to help Archippus out with what he's doing. Paul would say, you're not a volunteer. He would say this to Archippus, you're not a volunteer who can do the Lord's work whenever you want to. You are under obligation to him, not to me or the church, but to God. And since God will hold you accountable for your ministry, you should thank me for stirring you up. You should thank me for writing Colossians 4:17. You know, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry, for your deeds are undone in the sight of my God. You should thank me for stirring you up, for taking my right hand and slapping your left hand, if you would, or trying to put your fingers in place to complete that work. You have been given assignments by God. And there's a great question. Well, I don't know what it is. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, about discovering your gifts, discovering your ministry, how to come into the will of God. If you don't know, join someone else's ministry. Serve someone else's vision. But begin to serve in the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ. August is out in the streets. Others of you are out on the streets. You're in the homes. It's not related organizationally to the church. That's awesome. Do what God has called you to do. And again, you're not a volunteer. If God put that in you, you're not a volunteer. You're a member of the body of Christ. Ushers, Christian ministry servants, homeless workers, moms, dad, caregivers, what you're doing as unto the Lord. And you should do your best. You should be on time. You should be prepared, because it's all for the Lord. I think some of you are going to be late for heaven. It's going to be a sad thing. Now listen. If you say, okay, I'm going to help usher ministry or August out in the homeless ministry, I'm going to sing up here, or I'm going to serve back in the children's ministry, you're not saying I'm going to be doing that for the rest of my life. What you're saying is, right now, this is what Jesus is leading me to do. God led Stephen and Philip to be deacons, and then he led them into being evangelists, where mighty signs and wonders were happening through him. God had Timothy to be an apostolic assistant on Paul's team, and then he moved him into the pastorate. You're not saying, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. You're just saying, I'm responding to Jesus right now. And this is what he would have me to do. And again, if you're going to do what you're doing, just like my right leg, be all in. And be there all the time for what the Lord would have you to do. Jesus put you there, not the pastor, not the church. And you're going to give an account to God and not to me. And if you're slovenly and thoughtless in your ministry, that's between you and the Lord. Now, others will suffer for it, but you'll give an account unto the Lord. Now, couple of last points here. There are great advantages to having no volunteers and no negotiations in the body of Christ. We've talked about August and the homeless ministry. I don't have to remind August that, you know, I need you to do the homeless ministry this week. Don't forget, you need to show up on Tuesdays and Fridays and Saturdays and whatever it is you do. I don't have to motivate him to do it. God called him, apart from anything that I did or said or any involvement I've had in his life. Jesus called August to it. And I think August would be the first to say, I'm accountable to Jesus for this. It doesn't mean phooey on you, Tim, and the elders here at the church. It just means they quit. He writes about 30 thank you letters a week to people who serve in the ministry. And I thought, oh boy, my hand would wear out, you know, writing that many thank you letters. And so I asked, I said, why do you do that? He goes, well, just to help keep them motivated. And I was a young guy at the time, and I just thought, boy, I think there's a better way to keep people motivated. I would rather have 10, now I don't know if Brittany would like this, but I would rather have 10 children ministry workers who are doing it unto the Lord than 30 who were doing it to please me and then would grow resentful and angry if I didn't appreciate them. I just can't keep up with all that stuff. I can't motivate you to do your ministry. That's not my job. And my job isn't to give you a job. I went to another pastor's workshop and it says the pastor's job is to give everybody in the church a job. I thought, boy, I just got tired listening to that. What is? So you have a church of 100 people. Is there 100 things to do? Okay, you vacuum this 10 square feet of church and you can vacuum that 10 square feet and on. It just doesn't make any sense to me. There's so much to be done out in the world, in your neighborhoods, in the culture, in society. There's so much to be done in the church. You do what Jesus would call you to do. And the vision here is to discover what Jesus wants you to do and do it. I love it. I don't have to give you a vision. It's a vision given to you by the Lord. I have a friend, a pastor friend in Oregon, who says our vision as a church is to reach community A, B, and C. I said, well, what if someone comes up and they have a vision to reach community D? He goes, we can't get behind them then. Because this is our vision. And you need to join my vision. And I said, hey, the way that we do it at Calvary Fremont is we join your vision. We get behind August. We get behind the pregnancy centers. We get behind the missionaries that we support. We get behind the outreach efforts. We get behind this and that. I don't ask you to join what we're doing. We want to join what you're doing and be a support to you. And so I don't have to have a vision for you. I can't have a vision for you. I'm not the head. Jesus is the head. Now, someone might say, well, Pastor, I have 4 kids at home, and it's all I can do to do that. Well, then do that. Just do that unto the Lord. That's your ministry right now. That's the role that you're playing, to bring those kids up in Christ. Others might say, I have parents in failing health. It's all I can do to go to work and then to come home and care for them. Well, do that. That's your ministry right now. And do it as unto the Lord. Jesus is calling you to be a mom, calling you to be a dad, calling you to care for your aging parents, calling you to what eight leg? Tim, you can put your weight on me anytime, even at a second's notice. Respond to the head of the church. Amen? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We thank you. Lord, may you give dreams and visions. May desires and burdens well up in the heart of your people, Lord. And these assignments come from you. They're not something that man has given them, not something suggested to them by a list of things that need to be done. But Lord, you know how you have, even as you uniquely designed our fingers and our toes and our toenails and our hair, Lord, you've uniquely designed each member of the body of Christ. You've placed them in the body as you have desired. And Lord, may our eyes be open to that, that we might be used of you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your work in our lives by the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.